It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Today I spoke to Green Party co-leader James Shaw about their reasonable rents campaign to address rapidly rising rent prices. We then talked about the government's decision to support the elimination of patent protections for COVID vaccines. And lastly, we discussed the Green Party's new petition to remove the newly implemented wage suppression rules on nurses and teachers.
Tell me about this new campaign you've launched for reasonable rents. What is the purpose of this campaign?
Well, I don't think it'll come as much of a surprise to most of your listeners, Felix, that rents are a real problem, and people are spending far too much of their disposable income on accommodation, which obviously means less money to spend on anything else. And there are a lot of people in the country who are really struggling to make ends meet. So what we said is, look, we need to at least put the option of rent controls on the table. We know that there are a number of criticisms of rent controls, but also they're being used in various forms in other parts of the world. And we think that the housing crisis has gotten so bad, it's about time we had a mature conversation about whether or not we should move to some form of rent control here in Aotearoa as well.
So how does the cost of rent rise so quickly?
Well, landlords put the rent up. I mean, if the Property Investors Association were on the call, they would argue that there are rising costs associated with being a landlord. We disagree because the cost of finance has never been lower. So, you're looking at mortgages of anywhere as low as 1.5% to 3% in the market at the moment. And so landlords haven't passed those cuts in their mortgage payments onto tenants, but they are continuously increasing rents at the same time, and frankly it's obviously a function of the lack of supply. There's far too many people who want to live in houses compared to the number of houses available for people to rent, and so there's a lot of landlords who are essentially exploiting that by jacking prices up.
Could you elaborate for me on some of the ways in which high rent charges contribute to poverty?
Well, I mean, it's, if you've got a fixed income and the more of your disposable income is chewed up paying rent, then obviously that means that you have less money available to spend on other basics, including food or electricity for heating and lighting, transport to get to and from work, and so on. And we know that people in the lower and middle income parts of the spectrum are feeling really squeezed.
You mentioned the need for rent control. Could you outline some instances of other countries enforcing rules on the cost of rent?
Well, actually, there's loads. I mean, there are various parts of the US, New York City, for example, that have rent controls. Berlin's using rent controls, Paris is using rent controls. They're actually quite a common tool. But having said that, there are many different types of rent control. So it sort of ranges from things like simple transparency. So, requiring landlords to tell potential new tenants how much the previous tenants were paying, because, we know here in New Zealand, a lot of landlords are simply using the change in tenancy to increase rents. We might, one of the options is to actually link new rents to what the previous tenant paid. So, saying, for example, they're you can only have the next tenant pay a certain percentage more than the previous tenant. There might be agreeing maximum rent increases and tenancy agreements, annual limits for rent increases, or even freezing rents like we did during the COVID-19 lockdown.
For people who feel strongly about this issue, how can they get involved in the cause and have their say?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is we've got an online tool so that people can work out the extent to which their rent is reasonable or not. But we've also got, sort of a form there. People can sign up and be part of the campaign. Alternatively, there are other organisations out there. There's a new organisation called Renters United, and it's the first time, I think, in New Zealand that we've seen an organisation explicitly set up to advance the cause of tenants.
Now let's talk about the decision in the United States to waive the pharmaceutical patents on COVID-19 vaccines so as to provide some more accessibility for developing countries. What is your response to this news?
Well, I'm delighted. I think it's a very positive step, actually. I recognise that some other countries are pushing back, saying that there are better options, but at the very least, this is worthy of discussion. I'm really glad that the US has kind of thrown its weight in behind it.
So you were previously critical of our government for not jumping on board early. They've since announced their support of the movement. Are you pleased that the government is now supporting the removal of IP protections on vaccines, or are you concerned that they were simply following what was popular politically?
You've got to take it at face value. I'm really pleased that our government has kind of joined that call now. Damien O'Connor has been involved in the discussions at the World Trade Organization and is supportive of it. So I think it's really good that the New Zealand government is a part of it now.
Does the Green Party have any particular statements in regards to things that are happening in countries like India where the virus is spreading very quickly?
Well, I mean, what's happening in India is an absolute human tragedy. I mean, the scale of it is very difficult to comprehend, and it is a catastrophic disaster for the people of India. So I think it just highlights how critical it is that the world, gets past this protectionist phase that it's in with the vaccine and mobilises resources to make sure that the people who need it the most get it as soon as possible.
Okay, so now let's move on to this new petition that the Green Party have launched, calling for Labour to reverse their decision to suppress the wages of nurses, teachers and DOC workers. Let's start off with why you disagree with Labour's decision.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, the income band between 60 and 100,000, which is, one of the areas where they're saying they want to try and limit pay increases, includes, essential workers like nurses, people on the front line at the border, like the security guards, members of the military, defence forces that we've deployed there, teachers, and so on. And so, these are people who I think put in heroic effort over the course of the last 14 months to keep us all safe. And it seems kind of pretty unnecessary to say that they are the ones who are going to be bearing the brunt of an attempt to get costs under control.
I understand that the Green Party maintains close contact with a number of unions. How are they feeling about all this?
Well, I mean, it won't surprise you to learn they're pretty upset about it. And I think the way that the communications have been handled was poor because most of the unions only heard about it through the media like we did. There's obviously been a pretty swift counter-reaction.
I also want to understand why this decision was made in the first place. Could you maybe provide some insight as to why Labour decided to make this call?
Well, I mean, that really is a question for them. The Greens were not in, whilst we've got two ministers, including myself, we're not in cabinet. And so a lot of decisions get made in cabinet, which we don't have sight of. So I couldn't give you any insight into it at all.
The Green Party has called for wage increases to instead be paid via a wealth tax. Why do you think that this would be a good idea?
Well, ultimately, you have got a massive increasing wealth gap in New Zealand. It's been steadily increasing for several decades now, but it's been particularly exacerbated by the creation of credit last year. I absolutely back the government strategy and we got through the COVID crisis and kept the economy afloat, kept people in work, kept businesses open for the most part, and so on. One of the consequences of that is that you've seen massive growth in asset prices, particularly house prices, where the headline this morning is that Auckland is looking at a you know, an average of $1.2 million for a house sometime in the not too distant future. And so, you know, what we're saying is that people who are, as a direct consequence of government policy, seeing their net wealth increase, not because they've actually done anything, you know, other than already own something that's increased in value, that actually they should pay their fair share of tax. And if we were to do that, then there would be no problem in being able to pay our public servants, you know, enough for them to stay in work and to attract new people into those professions.
What do you hope that the outcome of this petition will be?
Well, ultimately, I think, you know, the onus is on the government to do a bit more explaining about why it made the decision that it did. But I think in an ideal world, what it would do is it would kind of relax the policy that it released last week, particularly in relation to that 60 to 100,000 band, because that includes so many of our most important essential workers.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.